Oh, there she goes. Okay, I'm calling to order the November 8th Planning Commission meeting. And at this point, I will call to order and have a roll call. And we'll just start on the left and say you're here.
Brian Lundgren here.
Laura Warfield here.
Ann Ellis here.
Richard Dyson here.
Ruth Ann Morris here.
Okay, and
Jonathan's online.
Oh, is he? Hello, Jonathan.
Jonathan, can you hear
Hi,
us?
Jonathan.
I don't see him.
Where were you last week or last month?
It was canceled last month, wasn't it?
We didn't have it last
We didn't have it last month, the month before.
Well, I was in California, probably.
You were probably fighting a fire somewhere.
Yeah.
That's what we figured.
Well, hello, Jonathan. We're glad you're participating this way.
Yes.
Okay.
I couldn't be there in person. I was trying to get there, but I had to work late tonight. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you can. If you're Zooming or phoning, whatever, however you're doing it, it's good. So, do we have any visitors?
Nobody's online.
Nobody's online. Okay. So at this point in time, we will go ahead and approve the minutes from the 13th of September as circulated. Now, I don't have them in front of me, but has anyone any corrections?
Good. Yeah, I know.
Okay. So I'll take a motion for the list to be approved.
Make a motion that you approve the minutes.
Okay. Okay, the motion stands with Ruth Ann and Brian. And so all of those in favor of passing them, say aye.
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 Okay, it passes. I don't know if Jonathan, I don't think he did.
Yeah, aye.
Okay. So now we're going to go into our public hearing, which is a request by the city to the Comprehensive Land Use Plan Amendment, which we're all familiar with, and an awful lot of hard work has gone into it. So let me see, the official, it's just, I don't think I need to read it. I've read what it is. And we know what that is. It is the Comprehensive Land Use Plan. It's file number PA-1-23, requested by the City of Toledo. I'm going to go ahead and what we're doing is we're going over this, and then at the end of the hearing, we have an option. We have three options. We can either approve this and as the request to be sent it to be sent to the council as it's presented to us. If we have any changes to it, we can make those changes and send it along that way, or we can just deny it. So that's my understanding of how we're going to do this, to forward the comprehensive plan to the city council.
So what are the three choices again?
The three choices, if you look at the back, you'll see what they are. On page 13 of the staff report, we have options, and those are our options. And Justin's done a nice job of explaining that to us. So at this point, I am going to ask for a declaration of conflict of interest. If anyone has a conflict of interest, and parties have the right to give reasons why they wish a commissioner to be disqualified from the decision item or rebut during the hearing the substance of the conflict of interest. All testimony or evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed towards the relevant criteria contained in the Toledo Municipal Codes to other city plans or land use regulations or the other criteria which a person believes pertains to the request. All persons shall raise issues with sufficient clarity so as to allow the Planning Commission, City Council, or others an adequate opportunity to respond to or resolve the issue, or this will preclude appeal to the LUBA based on these issues, that is the Land Use Board of Appeals. Failure to address a criterion before the close of the hearing record in person or by letter precludes an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that criterion. Failure by the applicant no later than the close of the hearing record to raise constitutional or other issues relating to the proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issues will preclude an action for damages based on those issues in the circuit court. Prior to the close of the evidentiary record of this hearing, a participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If a participant requests such an opportunity prior to the close of the evidentiary record, then the Planning Commission will either continue the hearing for at least 7 days or leave the record open for at least 7 days to allow the submission of additional written evidence, arguments, or testimony. An appeal from an action or ruling by the City Council may be made to the Land Use Board of Appeals by filing a written notice or paying the appeal fee. The date of the City Council decision is the date of the order or ordinance is signed. If no appeal is taken within the appeal period, the action or ruling of the City Council shall be filed. Okay, so at this point, we'll take the staff report, please.
And I did want to note one thing with the right to appeal. We left that at City Council in this case because the Planning Commission will make a recommendation to the City Council. So the Planning Commission's recommendation isn't appealable, but later on,
the council decision is.
Could be
appealable. Okay,
yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. It's a little odd that it says City Council there, but that's
the reason. Yeah, thank you.
And so this is a legislative amendment to adopt the updated comprehensive land use plan for the city of Toledo. So as mentioned, it's planning file PA-1-23. So through the legislative amendment process, Planning Commission makes the recommendation to City Council, and then City Council makes the final decision. But I'll go through the staff report and findings. Some of this you may have heard already because you've been working on this effort for a couple years now. I think it's been about 2 years that you've been working on this effort. But we have to go through the findings for each of the sections and kind of why the decision's being made. But again, the previous comprehensive plan was over 20 years old, so it was time to update it. Some of the chapters you'll see there's major updates, where some there's more minor updates, kind of pending future studies or information. Kind of one of those examples is the estuary management plan, which that process is already underway and close to complete, but not quite complete. And it should be, we have to kind of wait for the county to complete their process, and we'll kind of piggyback on their process. And the hope is that that chapter will be updating in more detail at the end of 2024. So some of these will look pretty similar to what it used to be, and some there's kind of wide changes. And in the packet, we have a clean version of the comp plan, which we're calling the 2043 vision for the city of Toledo, it's also referred to as the 2023 comprehensive land use plan. But we have a clean copy, and then we also have the copy that has where the text edits.
Clean copy is one.
There's A. And just as a note, there were a couple places in the clean version where it was still underlined. So those are just general typos that we will correct, but there are a couple places there. And I'll note one other change later on. That's just a minor typo. But we'll check to make sure I covered everything. And again, this effort, was an effort to modernize the comprehensive plan. And recently another example is the housing capacity analysis that was completed in 2022. The Planning Commission approved some changes to the housing chapter at that time. So you'll see that the housing chapter, there are only minor edits because of that previous effort. Kind of moving forward, as I mentioned, as new studies occur, we can open back up a certain chapter that needs to be modernized. From 2000 to 2023, there were a few times that we opened up the comprehensive plan for updates. One was the economic opportunities analysis, and then one was the transportation system plan. And that transportation system plan, I think, was around 2013. So there's opportunity where this won't sit for 20 years and not be reopened, but there's opportunities to reopen it and update it as we get new information over the next 20 years. So this, again, this is a legislative amendment. So there are certain findings and considerations that we have to make through the hearings process. So on the second page, Lead Oil Municipal Code 1920.070, the decision-making considerations. So this is kind of what the focus of the staff report will be on. Mainly criteria A has a lot of the findings, but we have to consider the following factors. So the statewide planning goals and guidelines adopted under Oregon Revised Statutes, Chapter 197. And this is for, so this is a comp plan amendment. So we're going to go through each chapter individually as how the findings were structured. And then the next is comments from any applicable federal or state agencies, any applicable intergovernmental agreements. And then D is any applicable comp plan policy. So this, it's kind of, criteria D is kind of interesting because we're actually updating the entire comprehensive plan. So the main focus is actually on criteria A when we go through the findings. So I'll skip a few pages here and kind of jump into finding one, and then I'll try to go through these, not word for word, but just highlights of each of the
findings. You're on the staff report, correct?
Yeah,
you're
referring
to pages.
Four.
Okay, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, page four, finding one.
Okay. Okay. I guess that four looked like a one. I'm going to put my mind on four.
So we've been in contact really closely with the Department of Land Conservation and Development through this process. And we also submitted this to, it's called the PAPA, so the Post-Acknowledgement Plan Amendments Portal. And through that portal, people can review the plan. And we actually did, I should mention that we did receive one question from the Fair Housing Council just requesting the staff report once it was completed. If you'll remember, the Fair Housing Council did provide some comments when we went through our update in 2022 for the housing chapter. And I gave them a phone call and let them know that this was some minor amendments. We haven't received any official comments yet, but they could, in theory, submit comments between the Planning Commission meeting and City Council meeting. And then I had already mentioned kind of the example here with the management, estuary management plan, where we're expecting to update goal 16 later in 2024. And so we've structured the comp plan similar to the last time, where it's structured by the planning goals. You'll see that we skip a few that don't apply to the city of Toledo. So goal 2 and 3 around agriculture and forestry. But we actually, for those, we kept it how it was previously done, where there are some goals and policies around agriculture and forestry, but I want to make it clear that they're not meant to meet the state rules, because typically those apply to the county's farm and forest lands. But the reason for that is there's just some interest around food production, local food gardens, that type of goal and policy that was within the agriculture chapter. And then for the forestry chapter, things around like street trees is an example of a policy within that chapter. So it's similar, but not the same as the county planning goals there. And I'll just start kind of going through each goal individually, high level. So citizen involvement. So you, as the Planning Commission, are the citizen involvement committee for the city of Toledo, and that will continue. And that's proposed to continue. And really with this chapter, we're updating some some items to modernize the chapter. One thing that wasn't around back in 2000 was the hybrid meeting format. That wasn't as really something that was thought about. So that was a new policy there. And additionally, social media. There's a social media policy in the comprehensive plan. And just also diverse participation and citizen awareness. So there's just some updates, really, again, around the theme of modernizing that chapter. And for our land use planning goals in that chapter, we tried to clean that up. And one of the major changes there is there's a new kind of table format within that chapter. So each high level, there's a comprehensive plan designation, and then there's also a zoning designation. In the case of Toledo, they predominantly, they'll match. So if it's comp plan, low density residential, the zoning is RS, single family residential, and they match. But if you'll see on the outside of the city where it's the dashed lines, these only have a comp plan designation right now. And the goal of the table was to show which zoning designations are implementing which comp plan designation. So that's now a part of the comp plan. And one of the other major additions was some language around urban growth management agreements. So we have an agreement that's actually, I can't think of the year of it right now, but it's older, with Lincoln County. And the goal of that is to those lands that where the dashed line is outside city limits and inside the urban growth boundary, is to protect those for future development. So it's developed in a way where it could be developed at urban densities later on. So that policy is around hopefully updating that, because it's from the 80s, I want to say, Arlena.
It was updated or signed during the last comp plan review, 2001.
Okay. So thank you, Arlene. So it's still 20 years old. I'll say that. But that's something that could be updated. And another piece is there are no actual map amendments that are occurring as part of this update, but we are updating so right now it says the 2000 comprehensive land use plan map. So that will be updated to the 2023 comprehensive land use plan map, but we're not proposing any changes as part of this effort. And I guess this is also a good time to mention, right now staff is doing a little bit of research on a couple properties that were annexed a while ago, and there were some issues that we're running into. But right here on East Slope Road, there's three parcels, and then there's another parcel on Business Highway 20 over here, where we've started to run into issues with whether or not it was accepted back in the 90s. This is kind of just to mention, I don't think it affects our update here, but that's just to mention that staff actually just a week ago started to do some research, because a question came up on a couple.
I mean, whether it was accepted in the 90s?
It was approved by city council, but whether or not it was accepted by the Secretary of State and the Department of Revenue. Because on the county's map show it under still county jurisdiction, and then our map shows it under our jurisdiction. So it's been, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Mike and Doug in detail on this, but it's a weird history from the 90s. And I can't, when was the other one? Do you remember?
One was, I think, 92 and 94.
So both 90s, where we are now kind of running into.
Does that coincide with when Business 20 and I'm trying to remember what they did, but it was some sort of change, and it had something to do with the highway.
So the highway did switch from, so Business Highway 20 through town is city's jurisdiction, so right. That there was a switch there, but these annexations,
it had nothing to do with
they were separate.
Because I know there was an issue with county roads within the city and that sort of stuff, it, off and on. So
okay. Yeah, this was a separate issue.
I was just curious.
Yeah, there's I think on the East Slope one, I think there's three parcels, three houses. And then the one on Business Highway 20, there's one house, but it's just a matter of, we're just going to have to do a lot of digging that we haven't had the time to do quite yet to figure out the best step forward there. But I don't think that impacts anything with the current update, but it is something that we may have to revisit later to fix or correct. And I mentioned a little bit about Article 4, 3, and 4. And as I mentioned, kind of community gardens and food production, kind of around the agriculture piece. So it was really more focused on, we're not necessarily growing high volumes of agriculture inside city limits, but how can you, with a farmer's market, bring that food to product within the city? So policies still supporting agriculture. And then yes, the other example is Tree City USA. So Toledo has been a Tree City USA for a long time. So that's something kind of as a policy to hopefully continue that effort. And under Article 5, so this is one around open spaces, scenic historical areas, and natural resources. So I think wetlands is an example. We have an older local wetlands inventory from 1995. So this is one of the chapters where there were more minor updates. This is a chapter that we did have our DLCD, Department of Land Conservation and Development, representative send to some of his staff within the department to do specialized edits for us. And we that's what we brought to the Planning Commission when we were going through Goal 5. So there were some technical modernization edits in there, but we don't have a new local wetlands inventory. So that's something where we have a statewide wetlands map, which has been created, which I found sometimes isn't always accurate because it was based on aerial photographs and soil maps that they used, whereas a local wetlands inventory is more, someone's going to be on the ground looking around the city and have more accurate maps. That's something. If we ever did do a new local wetlands inventory, we'd reopen Goal 5 to make additional edits. And one of the things which was added was around the state now requires it's called a wetland land use notification whenever there's a property that's adjacent to potential wetlands. So that's kind of, that was an addition to that chapter. And Article 6, so air, water, and land resource quality. So a lot of this does actually revolve on meeting federal and state standards. So you'll kind of see goals. The goals kind of repeat each other, but meet and exceed federal, state, and local air quality standards, meet and exceed federal and state water quality standards, meet and exceed federal, state, and local noise control standards.
Can I ask a question on that? And I know when we talked about this article, we talked about, we probably talked about what I'm going to ask, but due to the last visitor that we had, and there was a question on what the GP Mill put out, how often when we're talking about here, the DEQ and all of that, is there a minimum amount of times that for the city of Toledo that air has to be tested to make sure it kind of falls within what we think it should?
The remediation.
For the residents of Toledo?
So there's individual permits. So like for GP, they have an air quality permit for one of their facilities. I don't know the details, but they have to have a specific DEQ permit for air quality of what they release. And then in terms of the city, we have the only thing we really have is we have that air quality monitor that's within the city that helps monitor air quality. But in terms of...
And they can be fined, right?
I think is on the police department.
Yeah.
Well, and DEQ can fine them.
Yeah. Yeah, DEQ could fine...
they have done...
They have. Yeah. Right, and I know that they have to have the responsibility. I mean, they want to keep running, so they need to keep their air safe. But I just wondered, as this was kind of listed in here, if the city takes any... I don't really want to say the word responsibility, but is there a... I mean, I guess if you've got that air monitor there on... Did you say that was on the city...
PD.
Or the PD?
I thought I thought there were two, was the impression I got. So I don't know.
But so that's probably going to let us know if there's any kind
there
of...
There might be another one up by the high school.
What are they... pertaining to that... I understand that GP is planning on expanding into that and that they are, but they're not using right now. So do we have TEQ being, do they know about it or do we know about it or is there anything that we have to do?
Do they need to tell us?
So if their new facility requires a new air quality permit or an amendment to their air quality permit, they would have to go through DEQ, and it does typically with a DEQ permit or another state agency's permit, we have what's called a land use compatibility statement that's supposed to come to the city for review. But really what the city is reviewing is not the air quality aspects of it, but the land use. So we're making sure that the land use, in their case, industrial matches and that we sign off as a land use compatibility check. But that's where we have less control on the federal and state standards. So these are kind of policies and goals to support meeting federal and state standards, but we can't change the ORS for the DEQ
so standards. If they decide to put in something, some new equipment or some new project or whatever, do we have any authority to do anything about that, or do they need to ask us for permission to do it?
I think the answer is if they submitted an application and it was allowed outright in the zone,
right?
No, but if it wasn't allowed, it would come before you as a conditional use.
And we can't require any sort of air quality restriction that's stronger than what the state requires.
Well, you wouldn't. I think we're kind of getting off.
I know, but I'm just saying.
But
trying to jump.
Not in this document. In an ordinance, the council could probably not. Yeah. I would think. I would think the statute's probably limited.
During the building portion, DEQ will reach out for comment on those types of things, and those are comments that the planning commission or the city council or staff can all take forward as a recommendation from the city for air quality monitoring and stuff. But that's all regulated through DEQ. So we can always make those recommendations, but that'll be up to DEQ whether they decide to adopt or enforce those types of things.
Yeah, an example of like the first policy is the city of Toledo will support compliance by local industries and individuals with state and federal air quality requirements. So it's more, with this chapter, as a city, we don't have as much power. That these are air and water quality standards. But I would say as a state, Oregon does have some of the stronger rules compared to other states around air quality and water quality.
I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here, but just out of curiosity, what does our clean air monitor, what does it monitor? You know, they've got listed here ground level,
ground level, ozone, carbon monoxide, fine particulate matter. Does it do multiple things?
I've never seen it. I don't know. I mean, and you don't even have to answer that. Like I said, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole here.
But I understand what you're saying. Do you assist the monitor?
Well, no, City of Toledo has a monitor, which is great. I'm just curious. Not that I'm.
What does it monitor?
That's just it. Not that I'm judging.
Curious. I think we could probably.
I think it's. I want to say it's. Matter 2.5 is pretty common. I'd have to look it up. You can go on their website and click on the interactive map.
On the DEQ's website?
Yeah, there's an interactive map where you can click on all the monitors across the entire state. We have the one that's listed, and we might be able to pull it up.
So what you have really is a DEQ monitor. Yeah. Okay. And I don't know how fine they start defining the particulate matter,
But DEQ can say yes or no.
Well, and mostly it's because I'm sure it would have gone off a couple of years ago when we had all that smoke from the wildfires here, and there was particulate in the air, things like that. Mostly I was just curious. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I do. I do know of an example where, Oak Ridge got an EPA grant a few years ago because their air gets really stagnant, kind of where they're located. So especially in the winter with all the burning of wood, they would have a lot of air quality issues. Oak Ridge outside of, and they would have a lot of air quality issues. So they got some money to kind of convert to cleaner methods, like a pellet stove or updating your duct to a ductless system instead of wood burning. So they're
pretty strict on some of that stuff because we have wood heat for a long time. And anyways, we got the one before, but we wanted to have someone come and check it, and he said that unless it has the sticker of the more recent stove, he wouldn't even work on it.
Yeah, and
when some of those are good requirements and they follow it and reliable workers, I'm not going to come and work on that because it's not up to code. So
they're
trying.
That's a good example, and especially for not just repairs, but real estate transactions. That's where it gets captured a lot, where if there's an older wood burning stove in a house, that's the point where they say, hey, you need to remove this prior to the sale because it's not under the current standards. But in terms of making someone change it that has an older one, there's no real way to do that unless that sale happens. That's a long way of saying there's, with the Article 6, we're more reliant on kind of what the federal and state standards are, and locally we can kind of support kind of meeting standards, or maybe support, like if there's a grant program, support applying for a grant program that's to replace wood burning stoves as an example. Or another one that's in, which is an existing policy that we're not changing, but it talks about land use patterns. But if you have to drive less to get to a grocery store, then you're emitting less emissions. So that's another kind of local policy that's an existing one that we didn't propose to change. Hopefully that kind of is.
It is.
Okay. Is the particulate matter?
Okay.
So we just have the one monitor in town for particulate matter. Does it show green right now or show
15?
15. So it's really good right now.
Okay. You're more familiar with
it. It would be good right now.
Yeah, the lower the better. And then it luckily it also does change.
Where is the monitor?
At the police station. Yeah. And that's what that was the main thing. I think that was the folks that were talking about it at the meeting that they had was the fact that it was low lying, and all of this stuff. So yeah, so they probably the EQ probably tells you where it's an appropriate place and to put it.
Yeah. If there's no more questions on that, I'll go to keep if there's a section and you can have questions, it works to kind of clarify as we're going through. But so Article 7 is natural hazards. So something from 2000 that's new is that we have a natural hazards mitigation plan that the city works with the county to adopt. So that's an existing plan that's typically updated every 5 years. So ours is actually coming up towards where we would need to update that soon with the county. But there's actually a lot of projects within that plan that exist. Actually, one of them is actually, speaking of the police station, in that natural hazards mitigation plan is moving, the goal is to move that police station up to a new old bank that's next to the grocery store is the goal.
Up by JC's.
Yeah. So that's kind of an example of that there's specific projects within the natural hazards mitigation plan. So we refer to that and we've updated some of kind of the policies within this chapter of the comp plan as well. Kind of one of those is kind of implementing those mitigation actions that were identified in the natural hazards mitigation plan.
I had a quick question. I wasn't familiar with CERT, which program the emergency response time under finding 8. There's CERT and then there's the firm mats.
Yeah, so
CERT, what is that?
CERT,
response time? Is that what it
means? It's emergency response, I can't remember.
And
certified?
It's a citizen emergency response team.
Response team.
Thank you, Jonathan.
and what about the firm maps?
So those are our FEMA maps. So those are the maps that we adopted.
Right. Okay.
Federal insurance rate.
Insurance. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those I can for the updated community emergency response.
Community. Okay.
We'll add that. And that's the reason I don't know that one. So it's often fire departments that are leading those when I should have spelled it out.
Yeah.
And then another example is kind of wildfire protections plans. So the county has a community wildfire protection plan, which I believe is they're getting towards the point where they're starting the effort to update that. So that's something to kind of watch out for as well. So this wasn't a minor update, but I wouldn't call it a major update, but there are a decent amount of changes to the natural hazards mitigation chapter. I guess kind of looking to kind of another one was around education and outreach. And I think that is something that the fire department here locally has started to do quite a bit by attending local events. Especially during kind of the summer, during fire season. And so the next chapter is recreational needs. So this oftentimes cities will have a parks master plan. We don't have a parks master plan, but we were able to include a map that's in that chapter. Just kind of a general idea of the resources that exist. And there's also kind of a table as well, that gives a little bit of information about some of the different parks in town and some images. With this update, we tried to incorporate a little bit more in terms of images and format to make it less of a long, dense, boring document, but trying to incorporate more images and things to make you want to read a little bit more. And we were I guess to the point of we were about roughly 100 pages for the plan. So it's there's some that are much longer than this. So tried to keep it, I think, as the Planning Commission went through all the updates, kept it where it's not overly long. And then some just general policy updates were things about updating recreation plans, educational and institutional agency coordination. And that kind of brings up the point where we did receive through the process some comments about the public library and supporting its program. So there are some, previously the pool and library were lumped into one policies, but that was broken down to where we have a public library policy, which is the city public library. And then now there's a pool district. So that talks about supporting the pool district, since it's not the city of Toledo that operates that anymore. And I'm moving to economic development. This chapter that we, our economic opportunities analysis, I would consider a little older now that it's a decade old. It was updated in 2010. So what we tried to do with this chapter is kind of focus on a few areas where we can modernize the chapter. And specifically, that was kind of incorporating some things that have happened over the last few years, like our urban renewal district is new in within the last few years. So there's a policy around urban renewal district. Childcare is something that's come up a lot, especially since 2020, as something that needs to be supported.
I had a comment on that.
Yeah.
I noticed on, because it looks like it is something under finding 10, and it's the last paragraph, and it's about the child care challenges were exacerbated by the pandemic.
Yes.
And the industry is still recovering. Now, is this a statement that's going to go in the 20-year comprehensive plan? As a finding, is that text going to be finding?
I can read. I'll pull that policy up.
So the only reason I'm mentioning it is that if it's going to be there for 20 years, I'm wondering if we might want to put the date. I'm hoping there won't be another one, but I'm thinking maybe we should put maybe years, you know, 19 from 2019 to 2021 or something like that, so that we will specify that it's the pandemic.
Yeah, so
those years, and hope that 10 years from now there is, and somebody's not going to be looking 20 years and saying which pandemic are they referring to.
That exact language isn't.
I'm a pessimist.
Yeah, that exact language isn't in the actual comp plan.
If it isn't in the comp plan, then.
I'll read that policy since it came up.
Okay, I didn't go to refer that.
But many families across Oregon and Lincoln County cannot find care for their children. Inadequate access to such care prevents parents from participating in workforce and young children from receiving the benefits of early education. The city of Toledo will support efforts to increase child care availability and affordability. This includes smaller home-based businesses, center-based child care, and after-school programs.
Okay, great. Yeah, I didn't go to, I was confused as to whether or not, and I didn't bother.
Yeah,
so.
And in terms of a page that that's on, so that's,
yeah, that would be good.
59.
Okay, thank you.
Policy 14, so towards the bottom. But yeah, that exact pandemic language was more of a finding, not.
Yeah, I figured it was, but I wanted to make sure if it, you know, here we go.
And then another topic, which is related to our next article as well, but workforce housing was also incorporated into the economic development chapter as well. That's something that's come up, that came up a lot with our housing capacity analysis, and it continues to come up, making sure that people that want to work in Toledo have a place to live. So that's something that we're continuing to work on. So now there's an updated policy that clearly shows the city's support for workforce housing. And then housing, as I mentioned, it was more of a minor updates and clarifying points. The language is updated to put people first, so people with disabilities, and amending the livability policy, housing stock maintenance land supply and open space. So those were, and then there was a policy that I believe it, and you might have pointed this out when we were going through it, but it said medium and high income, but didn't say low. So we updated it to all incomes to make sure that our policies are inclusive. It was moderate, middle, high, and we updated that language to say all families. And that, and that's in, sorry, I can give you the page number of that one too. That is on page 63. I'm looking at both the strikeout version and the non-strikeout version.
It's confusing.
So it starts, it it starts on page 63 and then goes to page 64. But ensure that all families can continue to live in Toledo. I won't spend too much time on that. That chapter talked about housing a lot over the last few years with the recent updates. Public facilities and services. So that this chapter was updated to include, so there were some references to some old master plans that now have been updated. So the 2014 Toledo Wastewater Facilities Plan and the 2017 Water Master Plan. So they're old comprehensive plan and references to the plan that was done, I think, in the 90s. So it, this kind of updates that. There were some cleanup and amendments in the public facilities chapter. I wouldn't call them any major updates. There's talk about being a full service city, service provider coordination, city department coordination, having a public building facilities plan, regulatory consistency, and data and information were kind of, those were some of the highlights of the
policies
there. For the transportation chapter, this is, I guess, similar to the economic chapter where we have a plan from 2013. Typically, transportation system plans are updated every 10 or 15 years. So it's getting towards the end of its life. So there are some updates in there to talk about new technology, so diverse and also diverse revenue sources was something that was mentioned that's being talked about a lot in terms of how infrastructure is funded, natural and green infrastructure, electric vehicles, emergency service access, safe routes to school. And something that came up was a coast to valley train ride as a policy. I think Commissioner Dyson, I think you might've brought that up, but that's a new policy that was added was the coast to valley train ride. And so in Article 13, there weren't a lot of changes here around energy conservation. This is, I would say, similar to the Article 6 that we had talked about, where it's more supporting different programs. And there's not a lot of teeth to that goal. But it talks about energy efficient design, innovative technology, and public education. So any ways where you might be able to add a ductless system or add new windows. So any programs that support kind of those updates to homes where you're spending less money on energy. So it's not only conserving energy, but saving money. Article 14, I think the big thing here, I'll try to speed up a little bit, is the urban growth boundary swap for urbanization and livability. And that's something that we talked about in the housing capacity analysis, but that's basically would be taking some of the land that we have outside of city limits and in the urban growth boundary. And it would require analysis, but swapping it for lands that we think are better suited to be developed in the future. So some of the land on the east part of the city that's in the urban growth boundary is heavily sloped. So it might not have the ability to be developed as easily. So it could be swapped for other lands, possibly to the south or to the north. But that's a, a whole process in itself, but this kind of supports that. And this was something that was brought up in the housing capacity analysis as an action to take. And then Article 16 and 17, the hope with both estuaries and coastal shorelands, as I've kind of already mentioned, is to update that in 2024 when the county is finalizing their estuary update. My hope is at the same time, we can do some minor amendments to the coastal shorelands chapter as well and have a new map. So that's a 1982 plan with a really, it's actually a map that has some Sharpie on it to show where the lines are. So that's something where we could potentially modernize the map to make it more clear how to implement that chapter. That chapter itself doesn't, we've been talking to DLCD some more on the coastal shorelands chapter. It doesn't have as much teeth to it, but we do have water dependent zoning districts. So there's a few, there's not a ton of water dependent, but you can kind of see it with the green is our water dependent. So where the port is, so that makes sense. And then also where the public port dock is and a couple other places as well. Those are our water dependent zones. And we would, if there was any request to change those water dependent zones, we would have to refer to our Articles 17, because the goal of that is to make sure that we maintain enough water dependent for economic purposes. So the need to be connected to the water for ports is kind of the main example, or other businesses that require that connection. So that's a piece of the Article 17 coastal shorelands. There's in the city, I don't know the exact acreage amount. There's not a ton, but there's those few places where the water dependent zone exists. So criteria two, we didn't receive any comments from federal and state agencies. We got one comment from your housing council. We did get, I guess we would consider this a comment that we just received today from our Department of Land Conservation and Development rep. And I should have noted that, but on page 45, there was just a title at the top. It says Policy 1 Tree Removal. That was a mistake, and it should have been, that policy is actually related to fire protection and insurance. So it's updating that title from tree removal to fire protection and insurance.
Policy 1,
yeah.
Fire protection.
I think it was just missed in terms of the titles, because that is actually something that's new to this comprehensive plan, as we've now titled the policies. So as someone reads through, I think it's easier to read if I'm kind of scanning and I'm interested in say Lincoln County Roads fire access. I'm really interested in that, and now I could dive into that policy in more detail by reading through it. So it was kind of that's a format change, and we just accidentally titled that wrong and didn't catch it. And then criteria three is around intergovernmental agreements. So we didn't receive any comments from Lincoln County. We did send notice to Lincoln County. And then criteria four, this is the interesting one where it talks about any applicable comp plan policies and provisions, and we're updating the comp plan. So overall, the goal of this is to modern, as I've mentioned, to update the comp plan so that we've kind of gone through each of the chapters. And that, unless Arlene can think of something on this. So I tried to have notes throughout, so I wouldn't spend. The goal was 20 minutes to 30 minutes, but I think I'm over it.
Yeah.
That's the staff report. We can kind of continue down the line of the procedures.
Okay, so at this point in time, I think I will take any public testimony. Okay, hearing none. Anybody think that maybe we need to continue the hearing to allow additional testimony? I don't think so. So I'm closing the hearing at 10, and now we're into deliberation. So if anybody has any further questions regarding what's been presented to us, if not, then we go to, as we said at the beginning, whether or not we want to forward this to the city council, if there's any changes we want to make, modifications, or do we want to deny it? I don't think we want to deny it.
We don't want to.
I will personally petition of anybody who wants to do that.
We've done this before.
Well, we have. So anyways, we have the motion in front of us.
I think since we've worked so hard on this and we all went through all of it, there's no I mean, I think we should pass it.
Well, I think we should give the city planner,
the entire staff,
for working on it. It's been hard to do.
It's a lot of work.
Well, you guys have had to endure each of the chapters individually.
Oh, we did. We did. It's better than the Bible.
Yes.
Yes.
This.
Really. Shorter, too. So,
with like the minor, I guess, fire protection insurance, do we have to approve it with recommendations, or is that just approve it and that falls under the topographical and grammatical area?
I think you would want to note that the underline still, I think, would fall under just a typo, but
the title change,
I think in the motion, it would be good to mention that.
Okay. Sounds like you have a plan.
That's a good question.
I have a
Yeah,
that's based on the testimony received, the staff report, and the evidence and arguments before the Planning Commission at the public hearing on November 8th, 2023. The Planning Commission finds that application file number PA-1-23 complies with the criteria identified in DMC 19.20.070A through D and recommends approval. How would I say that at this part of the title change on the wildfire policy one?
Well, would you note that in the second or where the Planning Commission hereby adopts? Maybe you can.
The 43
added into that sentence. Adopts with the changes to that.
Okay. Recommends approval of the proposal by the City Council. The Planning Commission hereby adopts the staff report as findings, noting the change to wildfire policy one title, the fire protection and insurance, and also allowing for the correction of topographical and grammatical errors as needed.
And I'll second that.
Okay, the motion stands. With second, Brian and Cora, so all those in favor, starting on the left, will say
aye.
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 Aye. Jonathan, did you hear this?
Yeah, I approve.
Okay, it passes unanimously as a recommendation to forward this to the City Council. And thank you, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the presentation. Well, thanks for hanging in there. That's really Well, regarding this, we have a couple other. How about December Planning Commission meeting schedule has been presented to us?
Yeah, we attached in the packet the schedule for next year.
Next year, right.
And then there's a possibility that we could cancel the December meeting. We still have a week, about a week before someone could submit a application. We don't have anything yet, and I'm not necessarily expecting anything in the next week. So if planning commission members are okay with it, we could plan to cancel the December meeting unless we get an application in.
Well, I don't know. I don't think there's anyone here that's opposed to that.
Yeah, I think that'd be fine.
Okay, great. Well, that sounds good then. Then are there any updates and reports? Have you any more reports for us?
No.
That would be enough, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, and are there any staff comments?
I didn't know. Doug, did you want to introduce yourself to the planning commission? Since I don't know,
I should have welcome.
Well, it's the first one I've been to, and I haven't been here to the others, and I felt this was an important one with the comprehensive plan.
But you were at the meeting. I went at the Zoom meeting, the combo. Weren't you there?
But I do. Thank you. And for the work you did, this is a big deal. I don't know if you guys recognize that, but just the work that Justin and Arlene and Mike have put in on this and lifting and then additionally you guys putting through on this. This is no easy task, and I applaud all you guys for getting through it. I know it's been, from what I've heard, a long process. So, and probably other commissioners that have been on and left in that time as well. So appreciate that.
Okay. Well, welcome. And it's nice to see you in person. Enjoy Toledo.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's it now. Commissioner comments.
Not on this issue, but
whatever. Yeah.
I noticed that on Highway 20, as you're coming into town there, somebody has put a, manufactured home right down there, right by the road. You see that as you come around those curves. I don't remember anything about that. And across the road, there's a.
You mean on Radio Way? Yeah. Is that where you're talking?
And we have talked about that.
We talked about that at the last meeting.
We found out that they had Highway 20 or the business highway.
And there had been a split lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I drove up there and looked at that.
We talked about that.
We did.
And did we ever come to a conclusion?
So with the manufactured homes, that property owner has
right on the road.
Yeah, it is set back. I mean, it does feel close to the street, but it is so 15 feet is the setback.
It's from the side street because the highway.
Oh, so it's not actually
because the highway entrance was intended to be a temporary.
I was wondering about
initially,
that. Right? Because the garage is up there, and go through that. But I was looking at the distance between the road and the driveway, because don't we have a 60-foot or 90-foot spacing? And I didn't. So go ahead. I was wondering, is it going to be a permanent?
Well, it may be to allow for a second.
I think they're going to be applying for it. They haven't yet.
For a second parking spot, which is required in the zone. But to keep it permanent, we're going to require them to put in a culvert.
Mm. Okay.
That'd probably be good.
And tie into the drain that's that direction.
Okay.
When you're looking at the technical issue there, the way that hill is cut out looks scary.
I'm more concerned that my only was wondering the distance between Radio Way. If we're talking the same
yeah,
thing,
yeah, we are.
If we're talking the Radio Way as opposed to where, then you come around, and then there's their access.
Easement, through that neighbor's property.
But the house itself, their access is technically through going through their garage, right? Because they cut the garage's access off of Rainbow.
Yeah.
Right. But if you look at the house, just visually, it looks like you want to come up off of Highway 20 to get there. And my concern is the distance between the drive, if it is to be a driveway, between that and where Radio Way.
So is. From coming off of Radio Way, there's an easement that they're using that cuts through there. And that easement, the previous, the owner that has the house where the easement goes through, they actually built somewhat into that easement. So the easement actually cuts through a portion of their home.
But yeah, but there's still the access off of Highway 20.
There's the two accesses.
Yeah, and that's the one. I don't know what other people's concern is, but that's the one that I wonder about.
The one off Highway 20 or the one off Radio Way?
Yeah.
And it should have two.
So I don't know how they're going to resolve that. It'll be interesting.
Well, I thought that was already approved, though, right? Didn't you say that they were allowed to have that access?
So the
highway.
Yeah. So there's the easement access that's complete to the garage. Originally, when they actually applied for the Highway 20 access, it was temporary access, but now they want it to be permanent access.
Well, yeah, that's what happens when you can.
And so that's something we're still looking into. But if that does go that route, they'd have to have the culvert at a minimum. But then we can look into the distance piece.
The distance, and also whether or not, because that's the thing when they were talking about on along Sturdivant, and the one gentleman was saying he can't get out of his driveway because
same.
And I'm thinking that if indeed it has to go through, then. The same problem is going to exist there, and should they put in the mirror or whatever it was, so that people can see, you know, that something's going.
Yeah, so I'm not sure.
I just think it's a potentially dangerous situation.
It does look that way if you go that way. If you go in and out through the west exit, if you mainly use the east exit, you don't notice it.
Yeah, and so with any future access, we'll have Jeff kind of go out there, our public works.
Yeah, because it would be a shame, you know. I mean, something might not happen, but if something did, a lot of people would feel bad. Yeah.
Really.
I mean, is that something that we even have control of?
Well, so we have the access permit, so that's kind of where we typically look at access. So that's where we have the control. They had the temporary access, and we believe they're applying for the permanent access here, but we don't have.
That might be the city attorney's.
Yeah, because if they
didn't foot stomp that enough.
No way they're going to be.
I know that I found out that I didn't foot stomp, come in and immediately apply.
So if if they're going to have it, you can talk to ODOT or somebody, but they need direct access going down.
But is that
more steep? But that way, at least they can see both ways.
Of course, it would just be the city since
to make it permanent. Make it a permanent access. Is it a variance that would have to come before them?
Before the as a variant,
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, now you'll have time to maybe check into it.
My free time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think otherwise, it's
not an
issue comes again.
Yeah,
it's not a great.
Come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sure would want to live there.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I would want to live there with the stipulations that were. And that was the one that they were trying to find out if it it had been approved by the state.
Yeah, and they
didn't.
Right.
We
didn't find out. I didn't hear.
Oh, okay. You're on Sturdivant. Okay, I was still on 20. Oh.
But it's the same situation.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's similar.
Yeah. Well, at least it's been brought up.
Yeah, so I'm glad it worked. Because
I know a lot of people wonder about
it. I just have
you got to run into that house.
Yeah. Well, or somebody.
How did the election go? Do we know how the
does anyone heard anything about things that are new?
The bond, did it fail?
Failed.
It did?
Yeah.
By much?
It was 100 votes this morning. I haven't seen the update because they still have mail-in votes, but we're not going to overcome 100 votes on an alt election.
That's a fail.
Oh, well.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to leave.
Okay. Well, then I'll adjourn.
Thank you.
You have power.
I have power.
Oh, that's too bad. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Now, what was the turnout for that in particular?
This morning, 550. This morning, it was only 500 something votes.
So that's not a very good turnout.